Welcome to episode 5 of Shards of Light, Voices of the Blind and Vision Impaired, a showcase for the talents of the visually impaired citizens of Virginia. This initiative is funded through a generous grant from the Virginia Board of the Blind and Vision Impaired. I'm Lamont Crawley, founder and host. Teresa Breeden's story is one of unwavering perseverance from a successful career in retail management to navigating the challenges of vision loss. She has continuously adapted, found new passions, and built supportive communities, whether through fundraising, crafting, business ownership, or advocacy, proving that no obstacle is too great to overcome. Hi, Teresa. Welcome to the show.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
No doubt. I am pleased to have you on board. I'm going to start with a quote, and then I'm going to have you talk about the genesis of this and what does it mean to you, its significance. Your future is bright if you believe it to be.
That quote I put in the bottom of every email that I send out. And it came to me, this is kind of funny, from watching a TV show called Cinderella. And it was a newer version of it. And it was put into a commercial that the gentleman was doing. And he said that quote. Okay. And it stuck with me ever since. I truly believe that if you believe in yourself and you put the work into believing in yourself, because it is work. It doesn't come to everyone so easily. Okay. But if you believe in yourself, you can make anything happen.
All right. No doubt. Which also serves as the platform or foundation for the rest of this interview. You have built a career on leadership and community. Tell us more about that.
When I started working for Walmart, that's who I worked with for 23 years, I had a manager that put me in the position of a leader. And one of the first things he told me as a leader was to make decisions. Even if they're right or wrong, you have to make a decision. And that has pushed me along my route because I do think of things and make decisions, but I prepare way in advance for those situations because I'm always looking for what could possibly go wrong in a situation that I'm ready for it when it does come.
Okay.
And that has proven to help me a lot in leadership roles. I was a leader within Walmart for like 16 years, from running the front of the store to working personnel and help running the back end of the store with receiving. And when I started losing my vision, I had to retire from Walmart because not only was I losing my vision, but I'm also a diabetic. And when those two collided, my whole world just started to crumble. So I stopped working and got my head around the situation and decided, okay, what can I do?
All right. I like the fact that you said, make a decision, whether you know it's right or wrong, decide. Part of what I hear in that is take responsibility for what you decide. And you talked about being prepared, know why you made that decision. And to me, it's a very good example of a lesson for all of us, you know, when it comes to most situations.
It has helped me a great deal through life. Since he said that to me, it really changed how I viewed things.
Okay. You speak of finding strength through vision loss. How so?
It came back to family because I wanted to still be around for my grandson. And I had to be strong for him. I could not let him see that I could not handle it. And once I believed I could handle it, then it helped me deal with what was going on and decide where I was going to go from there.
Okay. And so where did you go from there?
Well, I decided that because I was a crafter, I had been a crafter. I crochet and do other things. I actually even worked with the fire department for a while in making hats and scarves for the children in the area that were in need of warm clothing for outside. And COVID kind of put a kaput to that. And then that's right around the time that I was diagnosed with my eye disease.
Okay.
So I knew there was a way that I could still be active and active in the community. So I decided, well, there's got to be others out there that cannot see very well that still craft. Yeah. I searched and searched and could not find anything. So I decided, well, if it's not out there, then I'm going to make it out there.
Okay.
I started my own Facebook group. It's been running now for 6 years and I have over 700 members.
Wow. Let me interject something here. Going back to crafting, I know you use the title fiber arts. So is crafting in this case and fiber arts the same thing? Or if not, tell us how it's different.
It is different. Crafting, I would say, is a more broad term for anything that you create.
Okay.
And fiber arts is dealing with yarn and fabric and things like that to create something.
Okay. I gotcha.
I do the fiber art and I do paper crafting.
And when you said paper crafting, what does that look like? What does that entail?
Okay, so I make handmade greeting cards.
Okay.
And I make handmade journals and planners, bookmarks, anything to do with stationery products.
Very good. Okay. So expand on that. Your crafting with a purpose is a phrase of yours. Is this where that comes into play?
It almost comes into play, but soon after that, I found ACB as their crafting section, and I joined ACB because they had a nice crafting and teaching part of their community.
Oh.
Once I got involved with ACB and I ended up finding my state affiliate, they were needing assistance and growing. So my leadership qualities in me just were like, okay, Teresa, jump in, see where you can help. And one of the things that I know that brings people together is crafting or crocheting is what I figured most people would be the most interested in. And so I started a fiber arts group.
Very good. Very good. ACB is the American Council of the Blind, correct?
Correct. ACB is American Council of the Blind, and my local affiliate is ACB of Virginia.
Okay. What kind of organization is that?
It is an organization that helps blind and vision impaired people live in society, be able to advocate for themselves, learn the resources that are available to them, and just help each other through life. It's a nice support system.
And it's a membership organization, is that correct?
Correct. However, we do allow people to be part of our mailing list if they're not a member.
Okay.
And our Facebook page, which I created, they don't have to be a member to be on that. And I share a lot of information and resources there as well.
Okay. So, and part of that Facebook is your crafting. You have a crafting group?
I own like three different groups, but I am a admin of the group for my affiliate.
Okay.
So I opened up a totally different group just for that.
Okay. Now, is that only for members or can anyone join that group?
Anyone can join that.
All right. And while we're on that, how can they reach you or access in terms of joining that group?
Well, they can find me by just typing in the search bar, Teresa Breeden. But if they also type in ACB of Virginia, that will lead you right to that group.
Okay. Now, you are also the treasurer of ACB.
Yes, I just was elected in October and started at the beginning of the year. I'm also the membership co-chair for the membership committee. I'm on the budget committee. I'm on the fundraising committee and the communications committee.
All right. So you're quite busy.
Yes.
Now, now let me just tell the folks that your name first came to me as connected with Fiber Arts. And I thought that's all I was going to bring you on to talk about. But when I saw your bio, I said, there's no way I could just limit this to Fiber Arts, because you reminded me of what I consider the full meaning of talent.
Thank you.
Now, I don't know if you have a definition of talent. And if so, I would like to hear that before I continue, if you will.
Well, I believe everybody has a talent, whether it's writing or speaking or crafting. Everybody can be creative in some way. It's just how much work you put behind it to how great that talent can become.
Right.
But okay. I think everybody has it in them to be talented.
And talent is aptitude and or skill.
Yep.
And like you said, the more energy, time, and so forth you put into it, the more you can hone that talent.
Yes.
As part of your crafting with a purpose, what are some other aspects of that that you have developed?
I started the group for ACB of Virginia for Fiber Arts. We meet on Zoom once a month, but we started meeting in person. And that got me thinking that why limit a group to just blind and vision impaired?
Okay.
I think that we should work side by side with sighted people to give back to the community and be as one. And that will help sighted people see that people that have any part of the spectrum of vision loss, they are still creative. They are still an asset to the community. And we're not just somebody that should be shoved in a corner and forgotten about. And I thought us working together to give back to the community could bring us all back together as a community.
Okay. Which is a nice vision there that you have created in terms of your work.
Since then, I have started a group here in Fredericksburg at the library, and we meet once a week, and everybody is invited. So far, I have one person that is blind. I'm vision impaired or low vision, and you know, there's some sighted people, and we're working together to make items to donate to our communities.
And some of those items are, for example?
Okay, so we're making soap sacks. That's for the homeless. We're making lap blankets or throws for the elderly in the nursing homes. And some of those will go to the homeless as well. Hats and scarves for the children in the area and also to the homeless. And we started making these things called worry worms, and they're very tactile and they're more like a fidget toy. But when you see them and touch them and feel them and get described what they look like, they just make you smile.
Okay.
They have big eyes and they got a twirl to their bottom. It's like a spiral, and you can wrap it around your finger and unwrap it around your finger.
Okay.
But
wow.
We give those to the children in the school, children in the hospitals, and we recently even donated them to the VA hospital that opened up here mm-hmm. in Fredericksburg to mm-hmm. be given out, even to adults, because like I said, you just cannot help but to smile.
I was trying to imagine what a wiggle worm, what you call a worry worm, looks like. So now in terms of length, how long are we talking?
6 to 8 inches.
Okay. And what, about an inch in diameter or fatter or smaller?
An inch to an inch and a half.
Okay. So it does sound very comical. What does it bring to the person that has a wiggle worm in their hand? What do you think it does for them?
I think it brings them joy just to see something so simple as a worry worm mm-hmm. and the big eyes. Right. Like I said, you just cannot help but to smile.
Okay.
And for a moment, it takes your worries away.
Mm-hmm.
And while fidgeting with it, you're not going to think about the things that are bothering you or how bad you're feeling.
Okay.
You're going to think about playing with that worry worm.
I got you. Yeah, it sounds like fun, no doubt.
Yeah, the program originally started as a random act of kindness.
Ah.
They would leave these laying around in a baggie with a little note in it saying it was free and had a little poem to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just leave them laying around in all sorts of places for people to find.
Okay.
But we wanted to make sure that there was more access to them. Like we gave 50 of them to the school, to the teachers, to hand out to a child that seemed to be having a rough day. We're going to partner up with, this is in the works right now, a nonprofit organization called From the Heart.
Okay.
And they make crocheted, knitted, and sewed items to give to the people in the community.
Wow.
It's based out of Richmond, but they've opened up a group here in Fredericksburg.
Wow.
And we would be serving Spotsylvania, Fredericksburg, and Stafford County.
Wow, that's tremendous.
And so we know that the items that we're making is staying in our communities around us. They are going to help me track, you know, who is going to, so I can stay in contact with them and find out how people are responding and if there's any other needs that we could help with.
Sure. Teresa, yeah, we talked about, again, that legacy or experience with leadership in community. You have just ran through a wonderful list of activities that you do to build community, to engage community, to give to communities, and have included others in that work as well. Now, where does this part of you come from, do you think?
I had a very difficult childhood, very difficult. And growing up without community and people who understood what I was going through and now finding a place where I really fit.
Okay.
You know, and I want others to feel that support system, that somebody cares and understands where you're coming from.
Okay.
And I just have this need to help people.
Sure. Is there anything else you could add to that in terms of your legacy, or does that sum it up, if you will?
That pretty much sums it up.
Very good. I was talking to someone the other day and was just telling them about, since my vision impairment, low vision, just the people I have met within the field, whether you are a person like me receiving services or engaged in the field in various ways, or through the organizations I have met. It's just a tremendous amount of people that you feel are just here for all the right reasons. You know, they're good people. They feel passionate about what they do. And I just found that to be consistent. And obviously, here it is with you as well.
Yes, I'm finding that too.
Okay.
I'm fairly new into ACB and ACB of Virginia. I just started losing my sight 5 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
And it's been a learning process, but it's been fun learning it. I love to learn new things.
Right. When I listen to you, you have made it sound like your transition. Now, I don't know if it was as quick as, okay, one day you could see and one day, another day you've been diagnosed with vision loss and such. Was that transition emotionally kind of as quick as it seems?
Yes. I was diagnosed in 2018 in August, and I just thought I needed a new pair of glasses.
Yeah.
And come to find out, I have a rare eye disease that I ended up having to go to the National Institute of Health in Bethesda to get diagnosed.
Okay.
It's called macular telangiectasia 2. It's MacTel 2. It's similar to macular degeneration, only in the fact that it affects your center vision. When I look at things, there's big holes everywhere.
I see.
Where there's no vision.
Where there's no vision.
Right.
And you make us see around there. You make us see around the edges of what you're seeing, but not what's
exactly
in the center. Okay.
But sometimes it works.
Okay. Okay.
And sometimes it doesn't.
Okay.
And it confuses my brain.
Right.
So my brain says, well, I think it's this.
Exactly. Well, exactly. No,
and sometimes it's not right.
That's right. That's right. No, I go through the same thing. You know, you're not quite sure what you're seeing.
Right. But somehow I've still been able to do my crafting. I've learned ways around it. I started my own business where I make my handmade stationery items. And people look at me and think, you know, my vision is okay, but it's not. And I explain to them what it is. I talk about it to all my customers.
That business is called what?
Breeden Inspirations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Breeden Inspirations for all to know.
Yeah. And I even make low vision books, planners, and journals.
Now, what might be a low vision book? How does that work? Or what is
I make the lines bolder and thicker so that a person can see it clearly.
Sure.
The print is larger and bolder so that we can see them. Nowadays, I think the print size is like 10 point to a 12 point.
Right.
There's no way I can see something like that.
Okay.
I need a 21 point.
Yes.
So I make the items bigger so that me and other people that have low vision can see it. And so I make the journals and the planners. I make a password keeper, an address book, gratitude journals, and I sell them on Amazon. I'm in my craft fairs also.
Okay. Okay. Oh, beautiful. Now I'm going to go back. What is a password keeper?
It is a book for you to write down your username and passwords.
Okay. So I think I might need one of those.
Websites so that, you know.
Sure, I got
I hate to admit this, but I am getting older, and my memory is not the same.
Every time you turn around, you got to log into something or set up an account. I mean, there's just so many things, different passwords we come up with. I don't even think a young person can remember all the passwords.
And then they make you change them all the time.
Well, true enough, true enough.
I created a book that we can see what it says.
Okay.
And there's enough room to write everything, and you could just keep it all in that book.
Cross off
one that's no longer needed. Go to the next one.
Okay, very good. Very good.
About those books, they all have unique covers, one of a kind that cannot be found anywhere else because I personally make them. I do what's called mixed media.
Mm-hmm.
It's just using all types of mediums, ink and paint and
alcohol
inks and texture paste and things like that.
Sure.
But then I scan them into my computer and I make the covers for my books.
Okay.
So it's my own artwork is the cover.
That sounds fantastic. Okay. So let me ask you this. You have been involved in an array of endeavors through the years. What do you see that might be at least one significant issue facing the blind and vision impaired that is not talked about or haven't been addressed sufficiently, if you will, at this point in time?
From what I've dealt with myself is where I'm going to base my answer off of, and that is the resources that are available to you.
Okay.
When you find out that you're losing your vision, you automatically want to know, where can I go to get more help? Where can I go to find this? That's not available.
Okay.
My doctors did not give me anything. Nothing. I could not find where to talk to. I didn't know what ACB stood for or NFB. I didn't know what those organizations were.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's not out there. I want to see at every doctor's office that is dealing with any kind of sight, they should have those pamphlets out there for people to get so that they can find out who to contact. Virginia Department of the Blind. I never knew that existed. So I think resources should be available at the doctor's office, at the optometrist, the ophthalmologist,
right,
even the retina specialist, where you go to get your prescriptions. I've started a resource bank on our Facebook page under the guide section, where I've started listing some of the items. We've got some other people now working on it, and we're going to be able to put it on our website.
Okay. Very good. I like hearing that. Therese, I'm going to ask you, is there any words of wisdom that you would like to impart either to the community of the blind and vision impaired or to the community at large?
I would say not to judge a book by its cover. Don't judge a person by their vision loss. We're the same inside as everybody else. We have feelings, and that if you believe in yourself enough, you can make anything happen.
And on that word, it's been a pleasure, Theresa Breeden. Thank you. And I very much appreciate you sharing your light with us today.
Thank you very much, Lamont.
For those of you interested in submitting your talent for consideration, please contact Virginia Voice at 804-266-2477 or contact me, Lamont Crawley, at myvoiceforsoul@gmail.com. That is myvoiceforsoul@gmail.com or text me at 804-514-5890. Again, I want to offer my thanks to the Virginia Board of the Blind and Vision Impaired for their generous support. Until we meet again, take care and bright moments. And remember, let us share a shard of your light with others.